This morning, we're going to be talking about Christmas of 2020, and we'll be looking at how we reflect on the next year coming. And this is a time of year when we kind of take roles, see how things are going in our lives. And 2020 has been one heck of a year, to say the least. So where are we with our walk with the Lord? Our next year will hold probably as many challenges as this year held. And who knows? The Lord may move some of you from paradise. That's Hawaii. To northern Alabama, where it's cold, windy, and rainy. But we like it here. So, and we experience a whole new change in our lives, a whole new environment that is involved with relocating. We are a fellowship of transplants, by the way. Not many, very many locals here. And so we experience new jobs, different housing. We have to make new friends. And we're also involved in a change in our country where there's a whole new set of political leaders, a new administration coming into being, a liberal group of leaders, and that's from the president on down. So it becomes a time of change. We're in a time of change. And that is really reflected in us as believers. We have seen what the coronavirus has done to our economy and to our lifestyles. You can go to the bank. Go to the bank and just simply ask to cash a check. What do they do? Would you lower your mask and let me see who you are? No, I was going to hold up the place, that's why. And who would have ever thought, you know, back in March of this year that it would be this way? And some of the changes have not been for the better. It's been difficult for many churches, particularly in some of the Western states, to have fellowship with one another. And we have come to a conclusion, I guess it was back in August, where I took on trying to be a WebEx pastor. I didn't make it, by the way. And I realized that that's not for me. But yet we still have travel restrictions that are on us. And, you know, you have to consider where you're traveling to and the quarantine that may be involved where you travel to. I'm not going to New York. And I told my daughter, I said, I'm not coming to California this year. Sorry, love you. You come here. And so we find this uproar in our lifestyles. And we have a solution. And it's kind of forced upon it. But we now must fellowship with one another. So look around you. This is who your friends are now. And we can have fellowship, at least while the government still allows us to meet together. So this morning, let us take a look at the birth of Christ. And it was also a very difficult time in the history of Israel when Jesus came. Now, between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's a 400-year time of silence. God did not speak openly to Israel for 400 years. Rome, they rule over the Middle East, they rule over most of Europe, and they rule with an iron hand. Israel. It is occupied by Rome, the ruling authorities, or Romans, along with their army. But God is about to break his silence to Israel, his silence to mankind. So let's look this morning, we'll be in Luke chapter 1. Let's look this morning at Gabriel, the angel that was sent to prepare the birth of Jesus. But first, he appears to John, the father of John the Baptist, Zechariah. So let's read Luke 1, 5 through 25. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was, while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the customs of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense, which he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at this hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to their Lord, their God. And he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man. My wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute, not able to speak until the days of these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of the service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself for 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." Zacharias. He's a priest of Israel, his wife Elizabeth, and the word says they're both righteous before God, blameless before God, meaning they obeyed the law with vigilance, but they did not have a child, and now they're both growing old. And Zacharias, he's burning incense in the temple of the Lord, and the people are outside, and they're praying. And this angel appears to Zacharias. And this angel is Gabriel. Fear falls on Zacharias at the sight of this angel. Now, most of us, when we are in prayer, if we were to have an angel like Gabriel appear to us, a mighty angel, I venture to say most of us would be in fear. We would kind of say, "What is going on?" And Gabriel, he's an angel from the presence of God. And this causes fear to come upon Zacharias. Now, Gabriel, he speaks to Zacharias, and he tells him, don't be afraid. Your prayer is heard. Now, that's a peculiar thing to say, because we don't know what the prayer of Zacharias was, but we're given clues. Elizabeth, your wife will bear a son. Name him John. Zacharias is in there fulfilling a priestly duty of burning incense to God, but his prayer of his heart is, Lord, I have no child. This is what concerns him. Zacharias, he's supposed to be praying for the people of Israel. But Gabriel, he says to him, your prayer has been heard by God. Now, Zacharias and Elizabeth, they're barren, and it's by the will of God that Elizabeth is barren. But God has plans for Zacharias and Elizabeth, and it's to give them a son. But this is to be a special son, one to prepare the way for Messiah. And John, he will bring joy and gladness, and he will turn the hearts of the people back to God. And he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's not to drink wine or any strong drink. He's to be, a Nazarite. And John will be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Now, we're told that the Holy Spirit is given to those who are obedient to God. John is given the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. Interesting. John, he will turn many in Israel to the Lord. What a responsibility. He will come in the spirit and the power of Elijah, the prophet. And John will make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zacharias, are you listening to Gabriel in what he's saying? But Zacharias, he's consumed because he's got a question. And Zachariah asks a question out of unbelief. How shall I know this? He's saying to Gabriel, okay, I hear you, but I'm an old man, and so is Elizabeth, my wife. And then Gabriel answers Zacharias, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. And you can almost hear the overtone, how dare you to question my word? There was a Christian disc jockey here on a Christian station, and he used to come on the radio and he would say, I am Gabriel. And I said, oh, man, come on. What are you trying to put on us, guy? You're a disc jockey. That's who you are. But Gabriel declares, I was sent to speak to you, Zacharias, and bring these glad tidings to you. So listen to me, Zacharias. And because you have doubted me, you will be mute and unable to speak until these things take place. Now, this is at the beginning of Elizabeth's pregnancy that he's in there burning incense. So he will be mute for 9 months. Now, the question Zechariah asked does not appear to be unbelief, but it appears on the surface to be like, how is this going to happen, Gabriel? But Gabriel sees through. He can discern the question, and he can discern the unbelief that is there in the heart of Zacharias, and thus he puts this judgment of not being able to speak upon Zacharias. You will not speak until John is born, Zacharias. We can sometimes cover a response to a question or a command with a shaky yes or no, and looking for the approval of whoever asks the question. But Gabriel, he has godly precision, and he sees the lack of belief in Zacharias. And obviously he has the power to judge Zacharias and tell him, you won't talk for 9 months. Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, is not accustomed to his words being doubted, not with other angels, and certainly not with these lowly human beings. Perhaps Gabriel is a little edgy. Could be. Okay, John, not John, but Zacharias, you'll just be silent for a while. And the people outside, they're praying. And they're wondering what keeps Zacharias in there. Why does he linger so long in the temple? But Zacharias, he comes forth and he comes out and he's doing charades. He can't talk, so he's doing motions and so forth. And he's trying to convey to them he has seen an angel. Zacharias' time to burn incense is over. He and Elizabeth go back to their own house. And Elizabeth is also silent until it's obvious that she's pregnant. And this is around the 6th month of her pregnancy. She's showing now, and her words are interesting. The Lord has taken away my reproach, for I will have a son. All the while, Zacharias remains mute, unable to speak. Now, Zacharias has 9 months to consider Gabriel's words to him. What if every time you or I are filled with doubt or unbelief, we became mute? I would walk around mumbling a lot. We don't always take the word of God to heart. But God has sent Gabriel to Zacharias, and he has broken the silence that has been there for 400 years between himself and his people Israel. But Gabriel, he's on a mission, and his next mission is to visit Mary. And that's in Luke 1:26 through 38. Now in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man who was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and is now in the 6th month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing is impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, Gabriel shows up to Mary. And having come in, Gabriel greets Mary Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Now, this troubles Mary. This greeting of highly favored one and so forth. What kind of greeting is this from an angel? And Gabriel says to Mary, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." That's a good thing to find. "You, Mary, will conceive and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus." This Jesus is the Son of God on high. And Jesus will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom shall be of no end. Then Mary asked the same question that Zechariah had asked. "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And Gabriel has explained in a moment of time, he has explained to Mary the favor of God that you sought, you have found. You have to be looking for God's favor to find it. She was looking for the favor of her Lord upon her life. It's been said that there were many other young virgins in Israel who also sought this favor. But anyway, Mary finds favor with God. And now Gabriel hears Mary's question as to how this will happen, opposed to Zechariah's question of unbelief. Same question, different motives from the heart. But different beliefs by Mary are there compared to Zechariah's. Zechariah wonders, how can this be done? Mary just wants to know the details of how the Lord will do it. Only God can separate the motive of a heart. Same question, one of unbelief, one of belief, just wondering to know how God will do it. But the same words are used. Just last week, we looked at how the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. And here we have a classic case of it. Gabriel can discern unbelief when he hears it, and he can discern belief just with an explanation. Mary was looking for God's favor, and God sent Gabriel to find her. And Mary became the most honored servant of God, most honored of any woman ever. Now, we, the Christian church, apart from Catholicism, we tend to belittle Mary. Mary was highly favored of God. Highly favored. And her aunt Elizabeth is an encouragement to Mary. For Mary has heard, "For God, nothing is impossible." Your aunt Elizabeth, an old woman, is now pregnant and will have a son. And God has broken his silence to man's needs and time. And it's all in the timing of God. God has his own schedule. Maybe you've seen that when you pray for things. And God's answer to you is, "Hold on, I'm going to answer that prayer, but not now. You're going to have to wait a while." And so we get to "not now" sometimes from the Lord. But Jesus, one of his popular sayings was, "My hour has not yet come." In other words, God has a set time and schedule for things to happen. Today, here we are, 2020 Christmas, and I expect God to speak to us believers, especially in our times where we're troubled, in the turmoil that is surrounding us. Can you say elections? With all the fretting and fear that is being voiced among the different Trump supporters and so forth. But let me assure you, God has not vacated his throne. We are still his people. And right when the world needed a savior, God responded in the most unlikely way. A teenage girl became the mother of Jesus, our savior. Mary, chosen of God. Mary, seeking and looking for God's favor, found it. She became God's earthly mother to the Savior of the world. Therefore, in our time of unrest, coronavirus, look for God to speak to your heart. Anticipate the Lord is willing and wants to communicate with us. Look for God to move and speak in our day and be our comforter. Our hope and trust is not in man or a political party. It isn't. And God has not vacated his throne. We are still his people, and look for his voice. Listen for his voice, and you may just find the favor of God speaking to you. Amen. Amen. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father God, thank you, Lord, that you choose to fellowship with us. You don't want to leave us with question marks. You don't want to leave us wondering what the future holds. You tell us plainly in your word. Your word is alive to us, Lord, and we thank you for it. So, Lord, let us get into your word. Let us hear what you have to say about our future, about what's going to happen, how you're still king and you're still on the throne and you have our best interest in mind. So take away our fear. Take away any reproach we may feel, Lord, from pressures of non-godly people. And comfort us, Lord, by your Spirit is our prayer. Be close to us, Lord. Come, abide with us, dwell with us, Lord, and may we glorify you, especially here at Christmas in 2020 and the coming year ahead, Lord. Just be with us. Comfort us and bless us is our prayer, and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.